See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
Hi, everybody.
And Catherine Horan.
Hello there.
Norm.
And so here we are, another week.
Another paycheck.
Another episode.
Another Ferrari.
Yeah. Another million for the CineScare crew. And
wow, that was a downer.
Yeah.
Well, took a turn.
That was a cold, icy bucket of reality. Hey, Matt. I got an idea. Let's start off this week's episode with a nice, healthy debate.
Okay.
Well, I'm down.
So I just reposted on our Facebook page post from some social media outlet called Horror Vibes, which I'm sure they're legitimate because they've got like 740,000 followers, which is about 739,000 more than we do. But they posted this graphic that says the Texas Chainsaw Massacre ending voted the greatest of all time. Now, they must have lost my ballot in the mail. I certainly would not have voted for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre to be the best ending of all time. First off, I'd like to assume that they're talking about only the horror genre.
Well,
I'm assuming in cinema in general. However,
yeah, I'm sure
I wanted to know, what were your guys' top endings, or do you agree with this?
I completely disagree.
It's okay.
It's fine.
But she gets away.
Yeah.
How is that
I think they're talking about the... A, it looks great. Like, it's shot really well. But then I think Leatherface, you know, dancing around with the chainsaw is probably what they're talking about as being...
Like the sunset and
that whole thing. So I would imagine that's probably why people voted for that. Give like a list of movies to choose
other
from
potential candidates? Voted? No. I think it's just rage bait, because that's what it did to me. Sleepaway Camp, Sixth Sense, The Mist.
Yeah, The Mist.
The Thing, Seven. I mean, for God's sakes, I could go on and on.
I mean, even Carrie, I'd put in there.
Yeah.
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 I don't know.
I mean, it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's a beautiful shot, but it's not the greatest. Absolutely not. I mean, my opinion,
ending of all time. That's what it says right in the caption. Greatest ending of all time.
For a horror.
The girl
movies.
Gets away and everybody's happy. Greatest ending of all time.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's the dancing of, you're missing the part about Leatherface dancing. I think that's such an iconic shot that's probably what people are talking about. But I would vote for Halloween. I think that's probably my favorite.
The ending of Halloween?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the ending shot of Halloween?
His body no longer there. And then just those still shots with his breathing at the end. I love that.
Oh, I thought you were going to just the shot of us staring at an empty lawn.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No. Like each of those shots from different.
Look at that
parts.
Crabgrass.
Yeah. That indentured of Michael Myers in the grass. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what ending is like. That's been sticking with me since I've seen the movie, and it's just so jarring. And it's Eden Lake. It's the ending of Eden Lake is so powerful. Yeah. It's so powerful, I'm just becoming more and more fan of Eden Lake the more I think about that film and what that did to me emotionally. I mean, it's getting up there in like in my top 10 horror films, I think, of all time. It's just that freaking good.
Ugh. How about you, Catherine? What's your favorite?
Joe mentioned The Mist. That might be my favorite horror movie ending because it's just so bleak. It's so good, and I love that they went there.
It's such a kick in the balls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That end, yeah. Like,
when Stephen King even says that was a better ending than what he did.
I had amnesia, so I could go back and watch it again.
Yeah. No, that's a good one.
Yeah.
He literally said, I wish I would have thought of that.
Right?
Yeah. I wish I could find a mule to kick me in the head so that I could forget that I ever saw that movie just so I could watch it again. So...
That's an extreme reaction there, Joe.
It was that moving of an ending the first time I saw it.
Yeah, when the kid's just like his eyes widen when his father's pointing a gun at him and it just, and then, oh.
We're not going to spoil it. Just, they got to take my word for it.
It's an old movie.
There may be somebody out there who hasn't seen the ending of The Mist.
Mark just like I've never more seen than to ruin a movie for as many people as
you think just the like listeners never seen this Porky's. Horror podcast has never seen The Mist?
Maybe.
I've never seen Porky's.
I hadn't seen it until I think we watched it.
Really? Okay.
For this show. Yeah.
That no.
I'd Joe seen and I the, we the series.
Oh, the series. Oh, that's right. They had a series. Actually, that was really good.
Yeah, it wasn't
I don't think I've ever seen the series.
It kind of lost steam after a few episodes, I thought, but it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very similar, as I recall. I kind of get the two mixed up a little bit. But I think a girl, unless I'm thinking of the movie, the girl from Lost, was she in the movie or the TV show? Must have been in the TV show.
Yeah, like TV a show.
The TV show took place in a mall or something.
No, there wasn't any.
Right.
Yeah. I remember The Mist where I played it on a computer. It was, it was no like image graphics, but you would get to make decisions and type in decisions. But it was so, this is back in the.
Sure, you're not talking about Mist, MYST.
No.
Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. No. Mist had graphics. It was The Mist. It was like the Stephen King, The Mist, and you would type in your decisions and all that. But it was so hard. Like the computer had a hard time, like understanding, what you wanted to do, and you couldn't get it. It would just completely stop at a certain point. But I tried to play the game. It was fun when it worked. But
I like the part with Clint Eastwood, in it and everything. That was really
when he's got the rabbit ears on.
Oh wait, no, that's Play Misty for me. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
I think that's considered a horror movie.
Play Misty for me.
You could go there. I mean, it's kind of like your erotic thrillers.
Let's not
Matt,
bring
do you
want
to know what I watched in the past 2 weeks?
Hey,
come
Joe.
On, Catherine.
Actually, let's get Brian in
I
here.
Bet you I'd like to talk
hey,
to
Joe,
Brian.
What did you watch recently?
Shut the fuck up, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. I will gladly tell you what I watched recently. I finally got around to watching 28 Years Later, Bone Temple.
Ooh, yeah.
Which I will admit, it was fun and refreshing. I did not expect every scene that came up.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. As a matter of fact, I gave that sucker 4 stars.
Hell yeah, and, Joe.
Yeah, I had a fun time watching that. It was
nice.
I just the Megadeth Number of the Beast scene
Iron,
in there
Iron
was
Maiden.
So or I'm sorry, Iron Maiden was so freaking cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. Next I finished up Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen, which I also liked quite a bit, the series on Netflix. And let's see, when was this? Saturday? I watched the new addition to Netflix, the shark movie called Thrash.
How is
it? I was going to watch that.
Oh, what a waste of time. I couldn't care less about every character they introduced to me. And What I don't really understand, one thing that really drove me nuts at the beginning of this film, there's all these people in this coastal town. They're all being told to evacuate, and they're all still driving around in their cars, and they all drive with their windows down. But meanwhile, it's like raining buckets outside. I'm like, well, you know, if you guys would just roll up your windows, you'd be a lot drier. But yeah, there's, you know, all these campy things. You know, there's a woman in there who's like just about ready to give birth, and she's one of the characters we have to follow. And I didn't care one iota. This is like a quarter step up from Sharknado. At least Sharknado was kind of funny. This was just pointless. And then I had a twofer over the weekend. I watched Faces of Death and Faces of Death. So I watched the original from 1978, and then I went and saw the remake in 2026 that just came out this weekend. And I thought Faces of Death in the theater 2026 was okay. It wasn't as bad as I figured it was going to be. They've taken what was, I guess, for lack of a better term, back in 1978, a found footage version of Faces of Death, which is just clips of horrific ways to die, and they turned it into a storyline, and where it's kind of like, we watched a movie a couple years back called Censor, a British film where this woman okay, it's the same sort of concept. This girl, our main character, she works for, like, let's say a TikTok type streaming service where you submit your content and she has to review it. And someone's been submitting content that looks really similar to the original Faces of Death killings, and she starts to believe it's real, and she investigates it. So I will point out, though, that what's the guy's name? Dacre Montgomery, who was in Stranger Things. He was the lifeguard that all the older ladies were hot after. I believe that was like season two. He plays the serial killer in this. I thought he did an excellent job. I honestly wish we could have spent more time watching him develop his character, especially more in his regular daily life. You got to see a fair amount of him, you know, all like psyched up and trying to kill somebody. But he had a normal, like, day-to-day job, too, and that's kind of how he was picking his victims. A lot of social media influencers die in this film, which I applaud wholeheartedly. I want to see more of that personally. So, a lot of this is like a debate, like, should I wait and see it on streaming or should I go see it in the theaters? I would say if it's a rainy, crappy day out and you can't do anything fun, go see this. It's at least worth your time and a decent amount of money. But don't rush out to see it on my account. You can probably wait until it's streaming, but it was fairly decent. I didn't mind it.
Yeah. That's not bad.
And I'm watching Friday the 13th part 2 right now as well.
Oh, nice. Oh,
what part?
And I'm wearing a Friday the 13th t-shirt.
Part 2. That's how
Apple. No, I mean, like, what part of the film are you at?
I don't know. I'm barely watching it. Some campers are sitting around a campfire.
Oh, which Friday the 13th is that?
No, I know exactly.
You know, the one.
It's where Paul's. It's where the Paul's. One where
they're at the camp.
Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. They haven't gone in to play board games yet. They haven't started Strip Monopoly yet.
And the guy in the wheelchair hasn't gotten
sitting
yet?
Right by the fire.
Yeah.
Trying to stay warm.
He's at the part where Paul's talking to his camp counselors about Jason and the legend and all that. And then the one guy, I think it's Ralph, who actually survives in the movie, pops out with a really scary mask that I wish Jason actually used.
Some
it seems to me like you're an expert, Mark.
I kind of am with Friday the 13th.
Yeah, so that's... That's where I'm at.
I fucking love this film.
I do.
I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
I do. I do. I really do. I do love Friday the 13th part 2.
All right. Is that it, Joe?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, Mark, what have you been watching recently?
What are you bitching about?
What are you bitching about?
Basically,
because I fucking said so.
That's more like it.
I kind of went the same route as Joe. I also watched again 28 years later, Bone Temple, just to rewatch it. Shannon and I rewatch it because it was so good and it's on Netflix. So yeah, just it's definitely rewatchable. Here's something that will definitely not be on your radar when I said I watched. I watched The Day After, 1983, the TV movie. It's on YouTube. It just randomly popped up and I was just like, oh my God. It's like, I remember like watching this and I pressed play. I went all the way through it and, it's still kind of terrifying. It's still, they did a really good job and I can't believe my parents.
I wish they'd recut that because it was originally supposed to be like a mini series, at least three parts or something like that. And or multiple nights, and they edited it down into because they felt like people it would be too much to do over the course of a week or whatever. So I'd love to see like the full version of that.
I didn't know they cut it like that
because there's a certain part where they cut. There's like a time jump in that movie or something. I haven't seen it since it was on TV, but there's a bit of a time jump in it, and then you can kind of see that there was a lot edited out.
Between the current state of our country and the fact that nobody writes original film anymore, if you wait about 2 weeks, they'll probably re-release that or come out with a remake of it.
Yeah.
Because they're remaking The Exorcist. They're remaking Escape from New York. You know, are why not really? This?
Escape from New York?
Yep. Just saw it.
Who?
I just saw that it's been greenlit. They haven't cast anyone yet.
You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that.
There's another movie we don't need to remake.
Yeah. No, but it was, I just couldn't believe, like kind of like how terrifying that one sequence is, like the horse, like running in the field and in it, everything's like vaporized. Babies are vaporized. And my parents, said, no, we need to watch this. This is important, Mark. You're going to watch this. I can't even remember the last time or how old I was when I saw it, but I think I was in seventh grade or something like that. There's no reason for me to watch something like that.
Have you seen the British one that came out? I mean, this one, the American one, Threads. Yeah. The American one was kind of made after Threads came out, and Threads, from what I understand, is way more disturbing. I started watching it at one point.
I watched that within the last 6 months and it's pretty awful. Like it's well made, but it's just, ugh. Yeah, it's not bleak. Gonna make you feel good. No.
Yeah.
I watched Chernobyl.
Chernobyl's really good.
Yeah, that
Chernobyl
was great.
That was fantastic.
Jeez, when the skin just peels off.
Yeah.
That was a hard watch. Also, I watched Faces of Death in the movie theater, and I guess I don't have to recap it because Joe already did. So, but I'll just give my initial reactions. I'm in the same boat as Joe. I don't think it's a bad film at all. It's definitely watchable. And I'm like in the same boat, like completely. I would say wait till streaming. I don't know if I was okay. It was a matinee, you know, so I didn't pay a lot of money. You know, the popcorn was more expensive, but I actually enjoyed it. I enjoyed the lead actress. It was
Barbie,
nice. I guess she's a plus size model.
Yeah.
But I thought her acting was great, and it was so refreshing to see, not the blonde or you know brunette skinny, you know.
Yeah, she's not your typical final girl.
She's not your typical final girl. That's exactly what. And that was so refreshing to watch.
She was in Euphoria too.
Yeah. Also, she was in an extremely endearing film, such a tearjerker, with John Leguizamo called Crap. No, that was not the name of the movie. It's Bob Trevino Likes It. It's about this girl who loses her dad. He doesn't die. He just like sort of her dad divorces his daughter, wants nothing to do with her. Such a tearjerker film. Very good.
Yeah, but there's some really good scenes in it. It kind of feels like a 90s slasher to me in a way.
Yeah.
But I I do recommend it. I recommend, I think, I mean, hey, support horror films. If you really want to go there, I know there's a lot of people that really hate, you know, Faces of Death, you know, from what was it, like the early 80s or late 70s or whatever. 78. And I know there's a lot of people that really dislike it. I believe Matt really dislikes it. And I can understand why. There's animal cruelty in it. You know, there's
clothing. I've never seen it. I just have no desire to watch it.
It's on Tubi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should give it a whirl if you want to see.
I'll skip that one.
Baby seals getting clubbed. But no, I thought it was a nice take on it. And yeah, there's an interesting concept of, you know, the media today, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. There were some good kills in it and some nice callbacks from some of the fake deaths from the original Faces of Death. So I enjoyed it. Yeah. Yeah, I give it like 3 cuts. Yeah, that's about all I watched.
Catherine, what did you watch?
So I'm still making my way through Something Bad Is Going to Happen. I think I'm on episode 3 or 4, so getting my way through that. Watched American Werewolf in London, which Joe
has. Nice.
I love
that. That's one of my favorites.
Okay, good. I'm not a werewolf person either, but that movie's so good.
It's so good, and Joe hates it.
Yeah, we have to have a werewolf episode at some point.
Just we do, we really do. Just
it's
for
like
Joe,
one that's one major.
I'll let you know when I'm going on vacation. Yeah.
No, absolutely not. That's the whole point. You need to be on the show for it because I love horror werewolf movies.
I also watched Bone Temple, and it was fantastic. I probably liked it about the same as the first one or the 28 Years Later. It was just fantastic.
I don't understand why everyone else like seemed to not like that film.
No, it was really,
I've heard
really
nothing
good.
But good things about it.
I don't know. I didn't think it did well in the theaters. I just, I don't know.
Well, it's weird marketing, you know, the one before it came out just before, and then it's got this kind of weird title. I don't know. I think the marketing of it is kind of odd.
But definitely, if you haven't seen it, watch it on Netflix. It's worth your time.
Absolutely.
And I watched a new movie that came out on Prime this week called The Confession. It was all right.
I
like,
heard of this
it
one.
Started really good, and I was like, all right, this is interesting. I want to see where it goes. The middle, I kind of fell through. It kind of lost me a little bit. The ending was interesting. I'd give it maybe 3 cuts. It was fine. If it's on Prime, it's free. Yeah, give it a watch. But yeah, it was... Started strong, it ended strong, the middle's a little muddled. And that's all I watched this week. Matt, what did you watch?
Yeah. I finished Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen, and I loved that show. I thought that was great, and I thought they nailed the ending of it, too. I thought I liked it from beginning to end, and that main girl I thought was really good. I'd never seen her in anything before, but she's really good. Camilla Marone, Maroney. And of course, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Ted Levine is in it, of course. So there's some, you know, there's a couple big people in it. And then most of the characters though are, you know, people you haven't seen or heard of before, but I thought the main girl was really strong. And then we also finished another series called The Chestnut Man that, is a Danish, kind of a mystery slash horror series. And actually season 2 is coming out, I think May 1st or May 2nd, something like that. It's coming out in just a few weeks. And so that I thought was really strong. It's really more of a mystery, but there's definitely elements of horror to it as well. And I'm not sure what, because they did wrap up this story, but so I'm not, I can't remember exactly how it leaves it so that there would be more to do, I guess, for a season 2. I can't remember now, but it's really strong. It's a Danish film, really good, or a series, and then really good. And then we started another one called Detective Hull, that is another, I think this one might be German, or I can't remember what Oslo. Where's Oslo?
That's Norway.
Norway. No, it's Norwegian. That's right. I think parts of it, they go into Germany. That's where I'm thinking of. Detective Hole is pretty good too, but it's not. This one is straying more toward cop kind of thing, but it has a really unique look to it, and there is some like graphic violence and practical effects and stuff in it too. So it's definitely worth checking out, though. So a couple European shows on Netflix that are really strong. So go check those out. And The Chestnut Man, like I said, is going to have a season 2. I think Detective Hole already had. I think it's based on a series of books, and it's got a couple seasons, if I'm not mistaken, under its belt. Or there's going to be more. I can't remember now. But anyway, definitely check out Something Very Bad. Something Very Bad is going to happen. That was terrific. So, and I think that's all I've got for the movies. There went Catherine. We lost. Oh, there she is. Okay,
she's integral to this particular.
She's very integral, but
my internet just went.
Not much we can do without her. But her pick this week is a little.
Cheers is filmed before a live studio audience.
Oh, remember this theme song.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?
Come on, sing on time.
Sometimes you gotta go where everybody knows your name.
On cue, guys, come on.
And you're always glad you came.
Norm.
You can see.
Oh my God.
You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
Jeez.
You wanna go where people know.
Mark, it's not that
sing
we're
it again.
Off. It's like you're hearing it at your time.
It's
Joe's
the leg.
Hearing it at mine. But when it all comes together, it'll all sound like we're
seamless.
On the same page.
It'll be like
sure?
the Mormon Tabernacle.
Yeah, because it records on
Should've
your side.
My harmony.
It records on my side. It records on Joe's side. We're just off a second, or not even a second, probably half a second.
That was extremely just like nails on a chalkboard. I was like, stop.
It's like straight with no chaser.
So, Catherine, your pick is Cheers to Horror, right? What made you pick this one?
You know, I was just having a conversation.
Boredom.
And I don't remember exactly how it came up. It was just something, I think maybe we were talking about Motel Hell. And I was saying with John Ratzenberger. And I was like, oh, you know what? Another movie that's really good is House. I was like, well, that's got George Wendt. I was like, oh. If I could do a third one with another. I originally thought of Creepshow because that has Ted Danson, but I was pretty sure that had already been covered on this.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, okay, we won't do Creepshow. So I was like, what else can I do? And there's like, Zombieland. That's got Woody Harrelson. That'll be perfect.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of an accident.
We could have done Night Court because Bull was in House.
You probably could have. Yep.
And I'm sure we could find a John Larroquette.
Oh,
film.
Yeah.
Well, he's the narrator in Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, yeah.
And you've got
Did it for
oh
a
god. The judge. I can't think of his name right now. Harry
Anderson.
Anderson, yeah. He's in the
right.
Yeah, that's right. The TV there you go. Yeah.
See?
Oh god.
Next episode.
Keep
all
this
set.
Going.
Oh man.
Mark, I made your choices for you. Here we go.
Now.
Yeah.
But
so
yes,
take it away, Catherine.
All right. So I thought we'd start with the most recent one, probably the most successful of these three, which was Zombieland from 2009. And the quick synopsis here is a shy college student trying to reach his family in Ohio, a gun-toting bruiser in search of the last Twinkie, and a pair of sisters striving to get to an amusement park join forces in a trek across a zombie-filled America. And just real quick, I thought I'd reiterate the first four rules of Zombieland. Rule number one is cardio. Rule number two is double tap. Rule number three, beware of bathrooms. And rule number four, seatbelts. So do those four things to survive in Zombieland. Let's see. Jesse Eisenberg is in this. He plays Columbus. I'm usually not a big fan of him, but he's kind of perfect for this because I feel like this role is kind of written for him. He plays this very OCD college student, very uptight and neurotic.
I feel that that's all his characters.
Right? So it's kind of perfect for him. Let's see. Woody Harrelson is Tallahassee. Woody played Woody in Cheers. Just very creative name there. But it's kind of funny, you know, thinking about his role in Cheers. And then in this movie, they're complete opposites. Because in Cheers, he's the kind of, you know, good intentioned, well-meaning, very kind of naive bartender. And in here, he's the gun-toting, doesn't care about anyone really but himself. Although he loves his dog, which is his son. Let's see. Emma Stone is Wichita. Thought this was one of her very earlier film roles. Not her first film, but pretty close. Abigail Breslin is Little Rock, and she was 13 at the time she made this movie. And then you've got, in the best cameo of all time, you've got Bill Murray playing himself, which was... I remember when I saw this in the theater, that was just such a fun surprise. I was thinking when I was watching this, I've seen this movie before, but it's been a minute. And it really is kind of a nice mashup almost of Scream and Shaun of the Dead. You've got Scream with, you know, all the different rules of, you know, make sure you follow these rules to survive. And then Shaun of the Dead, which was the comedy zombie movie. It's got a really cool soundtrack. Lots of great moments in this. I love the opening where you've got the Metallica, For Whom the Bell Tolls. And it's got a really cool Van Halen thing in there as well. It's a really great kind of buddy road trip movie, which I love those. So it's kind of a fun twist on that as well. And just kind of a fun fact I found out. This movie started out as a television pilot. The zombie kill of the week was left over from that. And if it was going to be a TV show each week, there was going to be a different zombie kill of the week. So that's something they carried over into the TV or into the movie. So let's see. I'll start with Mark. What did you think of Zombieland?
Yeah, I saw this movie in the theater, and I remember really liking this film. This is actually my only second viewing. It's mm-hmm. first time I've watched it again. And for me, it doesn't really hold up from, you know, what I remembered. I mean, it's got a great start, super funny, you know, beginning with cardio, and, you know, the obese people got it first, which completely makes sense. I would say old people and obese people would be probably the first ones to go. So I totally thought that was great. I mean, all the characters are fine. I've never seen so much waste of ammo in a movie. I mean, that was just insane. It's like, where are they getting this ammo? I guess ammo shops and all that, but maybe they should, you know, show that a little bit more. It's like, an infinite amount of ammo. And but I mean, like, no one was annoying. And I know this film is like a comedy slash horror film, but the motive of these characters to find an amusement park to ride roller coasters and to find a Twinkie is just ludicrous. And I know it's a comedy, but like, Woody can't find one Twinkie from Tallahassee to California out of all the grocery stores and whatnot. He can't find one Twinkie. That's just, I find that really hard to believe. It bothered me. Of course, the Bill Murray scene's great. I remember it was such a delight that out of all the stars they picked, it was Bill Murray. And I loved how Bill Murray was actually still surviving and dressed up as a zombie, just, you know. And then I like to socialize. I like to get out. I just loved it. And, you know, of course, you know, Bill Murray just getting it the way he got it was just so great. And just the breathing out and then stopping. And then the second, it's just great. Emma Stone, of course, she's absolutely stunning in this film. My God, she's just, every shot of her is just gorgeous. But I mean, it's a fine film. A second viewing after watching it, it didn't really just hold up for me. I remember watching Zombieland 2, and it had some good laughs in it, but I didn't think it deserved a sequel, honestly. I didn't really like Zombieland 2. But all in all, it's a fine film.
Matt, what did you think?
Yeah, I like it. I think it's fun. It's it definitely has kind of that you know, Shaun of the Dead feel to it, or like an approximation of Shaun of the Dead, and that director, not Danny Boyle, who directed Shaun of the Dead.
Edgar Wright.
You know, it's got that, you know, not exactly Edgar Wright, but it's, you know, it's trying to do that kind of thing, I think. And I thought Woody Harrelson's just, I think he's underrated. You know, I think he's just a solid, really good character actor, and he's always fun in it. I mean, he's basically always playing Woody Harrelson, but that character, you know, I mean, Jack Nicholson is basically always playing Jack Nicholson too, you know, so he does that so well, and he lends, you know, a little something to it. And the whole part about with Bill Murray was hilarious, you know. I wish it had gone a little bit longer than they did. It's that's part of the funny part of it too, is that they bring Bill Murray on and then he's dead, you know, within a few minutes. But it's great. It's really good. I thought that, yeah, Emma Stone's great in it. And this is, of course, before she's, you know, really became a big star. I think it was not long after Superbad, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how close they were together, but you know, she still has the same look from Superbad too. It's like that red hair or whatever, and she hasn't really had that much since, right? She's pretty much just been blonde since then, I think, for the most part. But yeah, she's great in it. Jesse Eisenberg is, you know, he's good for that role as well. So it's just a fun kind of like buddy kind of thing. It's entertaining. You know, there's nothing, I don't think there's anything great about it, but it's all, you know, I'm there with it the whole time. So I thought it was kind of fun. I do think at the beginning, I did get an idea. I didn't really take very many notes in this because I just was enjoying watching it. And nothing really came to mind for me to say, except for at the beginning, I felt sometimes the incidental music kind of became a little overbearing with it, and not overbearing, but just there was just too much of it. And I thought at the beginning when he gets into that car and he turns it on and that Chuck Mangione song is playing, that Feels So Good song, I was going to download that too, but anyway, he gets in that, and they should have gone with that more. Like, instead they went with the incidental music, but I'm like, that whole scene with that Chuck Mangione song playing over it would have been way funnier. I think it would have been a lot better. But overall, this was, I think it's good. It's not like Mark. I think I saw it. I don't think I saw this in the movie theater, but I only saw it once. I think as soon as it came out for rent, I might've watched it then. And then I haven't really revisited it since. So I had a good time with it though.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. And Joe, what did you think?
I really like this film. I never got to see it in the theaters, but I did see it upon rental. I've probably seen it, I don't know, at least a handful of times afterwards. I was kind of glad that you did pick this because I enjoy watching it, and I'll watch it anytime. Today was the first time that I found out it was originally intended to be a TV show, and I'm glad it never made it into a TV show, because where I think this is funny and entertaining, I think the joke would have died quickly by the time season one. I don't think would have saw season two.
No.
I did really like all the credit scenes, a lot of the slice of real life of what happened when some of these people turned into zombies, like the mom dropping off her kids at the girl's birthday party and people falling out of windows and whatnot. It was all a lot of like slow-mo action stuff. I thought it was pretty cool. I also was a big fan. You can tell this was like an early 2000s thing when he would give one of his rules and you would see the text on the screen as if it were three-dimensionally in the scene. I did think that was kind of fun. And again, like you guys all said, the Bill Murray thing in there was great. I Woody Harrelson's by far my favorite in this. Like, I kind of wish this movie was a little bit longer so we could have seen more of his kills. The grocery store scene with the banjo is one of my favorites. I love that. And like with any other zombie film, it gets me thinking, like, all right, if I was in this particular movie, where would I go? What would I do? Yeah. What would I drive? What would I be looking for? Mm-hmm.
Tell us.
Well, by far, hands down, the vehicle has to be some sort of all-terrain vehicle, because mm-hmm. That was one thing I've always debated about. Like, if there was really a zombie apocalypse, the highways would just be impassable. Like, every single lane would just be nothing but gridlock for miles. So if you can't off-road, you're going to be screwed. Depending on how serious of a zombie apocalypse this is, I think you should be making it to high ground. You should go to the mountains, like up in the Rockies, so that you've got a higher vantage point and you can see when people are coming and hold up in
some place that has a winter too, you know, because the zombies probably wouldn't do real well.
Wouldn't do very well there. So, you know, high up in the Rocky Mountains would be a good idea. I used to originally think that some sort of big box store would be good, like a Walmart of sorts, because you're going to have your ammo there, you're going to have food, and obviously for me that would just be my first stop, load up and then head on out of town, because that place is just going to get raided over and over again. So
that's a lot of people going to Walmart though, Joe. That's dangerous.
Well,
it's like going to Costco.
Your local hardware stores would also be another good one. You can find plenty of hunting supplies there as well, but you got to get them somewhere, and you got to get them before you go out of town, because up in the Rockies, they're not going to have anything around for you. So,
Catherine, what would you do if there was a zombie apocalypse? What's your first thing? What's the first order? My first order is
I'm going to go find Joe, and
he's too far away. He's in Iowa.
Protect me.
I'll meet you there.
We'll meet in the Rocky Mountains. It's kind of the midway point. I guess I would probably kind of do more of what Jesse Eisenberg does in this movie and just kind of hole up and kind of wait for everything to kind of pass by. It would be awesome to have, you know, kind of like a prepper shelter or something like that. Just stock up over time and just be ready to go and just lock myself in my house and wait it out. But
Matt, what would you do?
I would go to the mountains for sure. I'd probably go up to Lake Tahoe and cause it's not a big city. There probably won't be a lot of zombies around. You could probably deal with them someplace that has a winter, cause the zombies will freeze, and then you can go and just hit them in the head and spend your winter killing zombies during the day, if they're frozen up or whatever. Cause I would imagine if they thaw, they might still be able to like reanimate or something. I don't know. But and then I would just live on Lake Tahoe and fish and hunt and grow things or whatever. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Where would you go, Mark? You go to Wrigley Field, wouldn't you?
No. I'm going to the cabin. I'm going up to the cabin in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's got a firewood stove for the winters. It's right on a lake. You know, it's the problem of getting there before, you know, not getting killed. And, you know, just, I got to go on those side roads and avoid the expressway and whatnot.
Getting on a yacht wouldn't be a bad idea, you know, cause you'd be away from them. You'd have to, you know, as long as you're fully stocked, you know, then you could always go to England or, you know, over to Europe or something like that if you want, or wherever you want to go. You just get on a big yacht and go there.
Yeah.
Or a big ship. Mm-hmm. Just take the Love Boat someplace.
Yeah, ghost ship.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's a long drive, Joe and Catherine, to the Rockies. So that's a long drive. That's
for us, hard. It's not that long. I mean, not it would be bad. Yeah.
12 to 14 hours, maybe?
It'd be about the same as you guys, I guess. But
yeah, but I was talking to my girlfriend about, you know, like the zombie apocalypse, and I said, we're going straight. She's going, well, we got to get my parents. I was like, no, your parents, we're not taking your parents. It's like, they'll just, you know, drag us down. It's like, it's you and me and we're on our way. And she's going, what about, you know, your daughter, Dylan? It's going, she's in Boston. I can't do anything for her. She's on her own. Let's be realistic. You know, so you just got to go to the cabin. It's like, go, 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 go. So I always think about like the zombie apocalypse, like, and but they're if they're running zombies, I think we're all screwed. Actually,
well, Joe would have the best chance of surviving because he's not in as big as he's not in a big city like the rest of us. You know, we're all stuck. We'd all be stuck around millions of zombies.
Yeah.
Joe would only have, you know, 100,000 maybe or so to deal with, and he could get out of town fairly easy. We'd be stuck with zombies all over the place.
Joe would survive. He's armed. You, Mark, he's
because
dangerous.
You're in a dense. You're I know. In a dense city. Yeah. Like, you'd be screwed there.
I don't know if you could get so out of screwed. Your apartment.
No.
Yeah.
It would be rough. If I get to the car and make sure I had a full tank of gas, but man, it'd be rough. I probably wouldn't make it to the cabin. Honestly, if it's running zombies, I don't think I'll make it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Joe and Dan, he would survive. I really do believe that too. Like, honestly, I think Joe would survive as long as his wife didn't support. Hinder him. You know, it's the people that's with Joe though. Like if they bog Joe down, like his family's going to be the death of him. That's,
I've been saying that for 28 years. She doesn't listen to the show. I meant,
get in the car. Wait.
And then just real quick, two more things I just wanted to point out real quick. I thought it was funny when they're running down Hollywood Boulevard, you get the zombies in the character costume. So you've got like the zombie Charlie Chaplin and things like that running after them. I thought that was a nice touch. And then I thought the idea of the final showdown at a theme park was a fun idea, watching them use the rides to kill the different zombies. I thought that was fun, zombie something you don't clowns. See all the time. So,
yeah.
Excellent. All
just,
right.
Just so dumb. They go to the amusement park, turn on the lights. I mean,
I know. Although they're young. That wasn't very they're young. Bright. They don't know.
It's stupid.
That wasn't
and,
very
and bright. How is there still electricity going on at that time?
That's a valid point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to a movie that makes even less sense. Let's do House from 1985.
Makes perfect sense.
So, a troubled writer moves into a haunted house after inheriting it from his aunt. This is a fun movie because it is a reunion of the Friday the 13th crew. So you've got Steve Miner is directing it. He directed Friday the 13th Part 2, which Joe is watching right now. Yep. He also directed Part 3 and Halloween H2O. It's produced by Sean S. Cunningham, who kind of originated and created the Friday the 13th franchise. And the music is by Henry Manfredini, who did the Friday the 13th music. So kind of a nice reunion of all of these characters and people.
It's the redheaded stepchild of the Friday 13th right? Creators.
It stars William Catt, who plays Roger. He's probably most famous for The Greatest American Hero. And he's in Carrie. You've got George Wendt, who is Norm on Cheers. And then Richard Mull, who is Bull on Night Court. And Kane Hodder, who plays Jason in several Friday the 13th movies, was the stunt coordinator on this film. Just a fun little piece of trivia. If we were to watch House 2, that has a nice
the second
little,
story.
Right? The second story, which is the best title for a sequel ever.
Seriously.
It stars John Ratzenberger. I could have done a house double bill here. The for sale sign that you see on the house at the beginning of the movie has Craven Realty on it. There's a little nod to Wes Craven. And let's see. Yeah, let's start with Matt. What did you think about House?
Yeah, I've seen this before. I've actually only seen this one other time. I wasn't like in love with it. I know this is a real popular movie for a lot of people, but I was never that in love with it. I had kind of fun with it maybe the first time, but I just never ever felt like watching it again. But it, you know, it's fine. You know, it's got some cool practical stuff going on. And then I did notice, man, you used to just put the whole box in the microwave. Like he had a microwave or a frozen meal.
And did you and see? He set it for 30 minutes. In. He set it for 30 minutes.
Was it 30 minutes?
30 minutes.
That's hilarious. And I'm like, you didn't even take that. I don't remember, but because I think when we first got a microwave, we were only warming up things that like leftovers. Like I don't think we really got frozen meals for that. My mom used to get frozen meals for the oven, like those what were those, the Swanson ones or the Hungry Man?
Those
Hungry
are so
Man.
Good.
Hungry Man.
Yeah. Oh, so the chicken good. One. There was like a chicken one, fried chicken. Yep. And those were good in the
Salisbury
oven.
Steak.
We're having Salisbury steak today, children.
Chicken parmesan. Wow.
Yeah.
Chicken parm.
And then, but there's just some, the tone of this movie, that's maybe why I never really connected with this, just kind of all over the place. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be just a broad comedy, if it's supposed to be a farce. Roger Ebert loved this movie and he thought it was like, he compared it to like a spoof, like Airplane was he thought it was a spoof of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, basically. But the tone of this was just kind of all over, serious sometimes, other times it's wildly broad and goofy. He sets up all these cameras outside that closet, mm-hmm. and then he runs out of the room and does all these rolls and jumps and runs out into the front. And I'm like, I guess I don't get this one. I do feel like it kind of loses steam after a while. Yeah. In the middle, it kind of the pacing of it. And there just seems to be no real like, urgency to it. Yeah, I'm not sure this is one. I know Mark said the last one doesn't really hold up. I feel like this one doesn't hold up that well. But I guess I never liked it that much to begin with, so maybe that's the case. I thought Martin Mull's makeup at the end was really good, though. I thought his
fantastic.
His whole thing was really, really good. And I do think the guy's son looks pretty clean for somebody who's been right. rolling around in a jungle, in a cage in the jungle. He was like pristine looking when they came out of there, but overall, yeah, this is just a okay one to me. I know some people really, really love it, and it's one of their favorites, and it's just never been that for me all that much. But it, you know, I had fun with it anyway. So,
excellent. All right, Joe, what did you think?
I think it's got a really cool graphic for the poster.
it's
awesome. I remember seeing that
awesome.
Graphic in the video stores when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I also remember being so disappointed when I finally rented it and watched it for the first time. I'm like Matt. I was never really, after watching it the first time, I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping for something like gory and scary and not like a comedy, but,
right.
All of the Vietnam flashback scenes just seem so poorly done.
So hokey.
It's like they got a bunch of plastic greenery from Hobby Lobby and set it up on a stage, and it was so bad.
And most of these guys do not look like they were ever soldiers.
Oh, no, not in the least.
Skinny white guys.
Yeah. I will give it this. There's not a whole lot of dialogue in this film, which, you know, that was good. I can't believe he meets the hot girl neighbor across the street, right. and like 2 hours later, she's dropping off her son at his house,
so,
and presuming that he's just going to babysit him for the night. And
right. Yeah.
It was so convoluted. Plus he's in the house and he opens up a closet door and there's this demon thing coming out of it that looks like it's right out of Hellraiser.
Yeah.
And his response is to simply close the door and walk away.
Right.
I would have expected more out of a Vietnam vet than that, but
I would have expected more out of the demon than that too.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
You know,
yeah,
you're that big. I don't think the door is going to be a problem for you. And what did he forget how to use doorknobs?
The demon
doesn't know how to use
it's,
one.
It's amazing what you need to do to defeat a demon, because this interdimensional Vietnam vet buddy of his that's come back through space and time comes appearing at his front door, just knocking on the front door, ready to take him to the afterlife. And he can be, you know, you just shut the door on him and, you know, close a couple locks on, you know, and he's good to go.
Well,
or you could punch him.
How long has that kid been missing?
It seemed like hours.
I mean, it's long enough that he and his wife decided to get a divorce.
It had to be like a year.
Yeah, like but the kids, you know, the kids like the same age basically, and yeah. I don't know.
I don't know how this film got a 49 on Rotten Tomatoes, but it did. I just because this is my hang up, I don't understand the choice of song. They did this one's dedicated to the one I love by the Shirelles, sure. Which made no sense. And then You're No Good by Linda Ronstadt. They just
this one?
No. Not this one.
They should have used this one.
Look at what's happened to me. I can't believe in myself.
You're off, Mark. I like that sound.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free.
I'm gonna laugh so hard when this episode comes out and I find out we're all like staggered and really off.
Believe it or not, it's just me.
All right. So anyway, my final note was, so he's got this interdimensional being that abducted his children into a parallel universe. All he had to do to really defeat this was to just finally stand up for himself and say that he wasn't going to be afraid anymore. So that's, you know, write that down, because right. You may need to know that later. Gets his kid back. He gets his wife back. Unfortunately, he sets his house on fire. But, it was kind of it wasn't as good of an ending as Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but it was still pretty good.
Excellent. Mark, what did you think of this one?
This movie always hits for me, besides the classic movie poster. It does. What are you laughing about, Joe? It's the classic movie poster with the decayed hand pressing the doorknob is just beautiful, beautiful. But it always hits for me. I mean, it's the Friday the 13th, you know, creator. So I always love that. So I have a little, you know, feel good, you know, moment. It's like, hey, these are my boys, you know, doing a different kind of film. I agree with Joe. This probably has the worst acting in a Vietnam setting ever. it's all the tropes. It's like they're hot. They're sweaty. They're smoking cigarettes. And I feel like it was like a B-minus like theater group was putting on a play with just the jungle like in the background. I felt like they were just like on a little stage and they were performing, and it was just horrible acting. And my God, Richard Mull is atrocious with his acting in the Vietnam scenes. Like, he is trying to like deliver an Academy Award.
It's like he thinks he's in Platoon or something.
Yeah, like seriously. Like, I mean, obviously this came out before Platoon, but
you see all the fake trees around you, right, Martin Mull? You're not exactly on the scene.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, it's like, this is going to be my moment to shine. You know, this is Apocalypse Now. Like, and he was just giving it his all. And it was so over the top and so cringy the way he was acting. And I know the guy can act, you know, but I mean, this was just out of bounds. And this movie spawned three sequels. Believe it or not, the second one is really, really not bad.
It's fun.
It's not bad. It's really fun. And there's a lot more like special effects in it. And they go more on the comedy side of this. And, but of course, Rex Katzenberger is in, John Katzenberger is in part two, and he's got a lot more lines in the film we're going to review.
Yes,
Rex Katzenberger.
That's all you had to say is Rex Katzenberger.
John Rex.
I celebrate that guy's entire Katzenberger.
John Katzenberger. Hey,
We need this Rats Katzenberger. Get Rats on the line. Get Katzenberger. Get Rats on the line, please. We need him for this movie.
What a cruel parent. Your last name's Katzenberger and you name your kid Rats.
Rats Katzenberger.
No, this, I always had a fun spot in my heart for House. I enjoy watching it occasionally. I mean, I haven't watched House in probably over like 10 years, but it, like every time I watch it, I have a great time with it. It's great. It's great. It's a cult classic. There's a lot of people out there that love that movie House. It's got the comedy. I mean, is it off pace a lot? You know, sure. But I mean, this would be a great film for a younger kid to watch to get into horror films. I think, you know, so. And George Wendt's great. He's great. He plays Norm, basically. Yeah. And he's
the nosy neighbor.
The nosy neighbor. And he's wonderful in it. And I think the best scene out of it all was with the closet, and they got the goggles on, and it was fun.
I disagree. I think the best scene is when he's trying to bury the body in the backyard, and the female neighbor comes over and tries to talk to him while he's surrounded with a bunch of garbage bags filled with body parts.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite.
Banging the bag with the shovel.
Nobody would see him burying those body parts in the middle of the afternoon. Broad daylight.
They're saplings.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I agree with what all you guys have said. I mean, I love this movie, but I think it's based more in nostalgia than anything else. I also remember seeing the image of the hand on the VHS, you know, tape box growing up and being like, ooh, what's that movie? That looks so cool. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, but it was just kind of campy fun. And just based on who's in it, I love it for that too. It's fun. Yeah. It's uneven. Yeah. I feel like the ending kind of goes on a little too long once he's kind of climbs through the bathroom mirror and he's going through all the stuff trying to get his kid back. It goes on maybe a little too long, but it's fun. It's a fun ride. Got one of my George Wendt delivers my favorite line of solitude's always better with someone else around.
It's an hour and 33 minutes and you think it goes on a bit too long.
Just that sequence, it just kind of keeps going.
It felt like it, I guess. Yeah,
it does. Yeah, it just kind of drags a bit, but other than that, it's fun. I like to watch it every now and again. It's a fun one to pull out. All right, let's move on to our last selection, which is Motel Hell from 1980, and a seemingly friendly farmer and his sister kidnap unsuspecting travelers and bury them alive, using them to create the special meat they are famous for. And this one stars Rory Calhoun as Vincent. He has 2 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
Lots of movies and TV. It's got Paul Link, who plays Bruce, who's known for Chips. Got a great cameo with Wolfman Jack as Reverend Billy. And Elaine Joyce of Match Game fame is Edith. And then you've got good old John Ratzenberger, who's a member of the band who gets planted.
Ratzkatzenberger.
John Ratzkatzenberger. Most known for playing Cliff on Cheers. And this one's got some fun people behind the scenes. One of the writers, Robert Jaffe, he also wrote Demon Seed. The other writer, his brother, Stephen Charles Jaffe, would go on to produce movies like The Fly 2, Ghost, and Star Trek 6. And let's see, I'll start with Joe. What did you think of Motel Hell?
So I noticed that in this film, early on, they inserted some twin girls that were perceived to be creepy.
Right.
So what I was curious about is, this came out in May, or I'm sorry, this came out in October of 1980. In May of 1980, The Shining came out, also featuring some twins. I'm wondering if that was like a last minute audible. Like, hey, twins are trending right now as creepy. Right. Let's hurry up and throw some in there. Because they were creepy. I did like the name of the band that John Ratzenberger was part of.
Yes.
Ivan and the Terribles. That was great. I did watch this movie for the first time sometime in the past 5 years because I thought we watched this for an episode, but I must have just done it on my own. It's not one of my favorites. It's just campy for campy's sake. the beards that the guys in the band are wearing are really so terrible. Yeah, the sheriff is just uber creepy. How he's just glomming all over a woman, and when she slaps him, he thinks, "All right, she's into it." That's how our legal system works. A lot of boobs in this one, in every sense of the word. I do really like the chainsaw fight at the end with what's his name, Rory Calhoun, sporting the giant oversized pig head.
Classic.
It's so
it's great
bizarre. It's that's awesome. Where it starts getting into like Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part Two,
mm-hmm. right?
I called them zombies in here, but I guess none of them are because they haven't died. I wonder why. Did they ever really explain when they abduct somebody? Why do they plant them in the ground?
Maybe just to keep them from getting away. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, it has something to do with what they're planting.
Is it like
the food
tenderizing
them?
I don't know. Somehow,
I think it has to do with like the vegetables that are like being planted around them, and it's like their body is like seeping into the vegetables, and then or something like that, and then they smoke.
It is unclear though.
Yes, it is unclear.
Okay. Yeah, apparently the process is you abduct somebody, you cut their throat enough so that they can't talk, so their voice box is gone, and then you dig a hole and bury them standing up so their head is above surface. Then you just cover them with a bag and then wait for the meat to be tender or ready or whenever you're ready, and then you take the bag off their head and play psychedelic music and show a bunch of psychedelic lights at them.
Well, how do you do it, Joe?
Pretty straightforward. Yeah,
I've got an old family recipe. It just doesn't jive well with this, but I'd tell you, Matt, but then I'd have to kill you. You know, I don't want to give away a trade secret. So, yeah, I mean, I watched it twice. I watched it second time for you, Catherine. So, I don't know that I would watch this movie again. It's not one of my favorites. It's a little too campy and funny for me. I like my horror to be serious and bloody. So
fair enough. All right, Mark, what did you think?
That what a fun shit show movie this is. I mean, how do you not like this? Right. I mean, this has all the trippings.
Have you
of
seen
a classic.
It before?
Huh?
Have you I seen have. It before? Okay.
I have. Yeah. It has a crazy old man obsessed with religion. It has the wonderful late Nancy Parsons, who played Miss Ballbreaker from Porky's, playing the sinister sister. You got the final girl who's just as dumb as you can be, and a dumb cop that's bad but yet good. And just like Joe said, the guy's basically trying to rape, you know, the blonde in the car. And then they, for some odd reason, they decide, hey, let's make this cop the hero at the end. Makes absolutely no sense at all.
He's the good guy. Yeah.
He's the good guy in the end. Yeah, having a chainsaw. And it's like, wait, we're supposed to root for this guy? And the cop is the brother, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he has no idea about what his sister and his
He's a cop. He's not part of the family business, I guess. I don't know.
Right, but God, what a dumb cop. I was like, how do you not know what's going on? You didn't, you know, you spend time over there. You don't, like, go into the backyard and see all those heads, you know, sticking out of the yard or something. But it's also Chris Connor directed. He's the who directed this film. He also directed, Joe, one episode of Moonlighting.
Do you know which one?
No, but I know it's in the first season.
Okay,
it's the one with Mark Harmon.
Oh, shut up. Mark Harmon didn't show up until season three.
But it is one of the first episodes, or it's in the first season. So I did a little research. I tried as hard as I could, you know, in like 10 minutes to figure out what episode it is for you. But at least I know it's in the first season. So you own the DVDs.
That's another good. Oh, yeah. That's another good theme song. Al Jarreau.
It's a wonderful tubimino. Yeah. So, like, John Ratzenberger's role, of course, is not really prominent. What? Did I say his name wrong again?
No, you got it 100% correct.
Oh, but yeah,
Franz Katzenberger.
Now I can't think of the right one. Yeah. Can't, nothing sounds right now. Rats Katzenberger is completely different.
Wait, so John's character, or not character, but John the actor that we're supposed to be, you know, this why we're watching a film, and he's the drummer in the band, and I don't even think he has a line, does he?
Just go.
He's a yeah.
Mark made a boner.
John Ratzenberger.
Ratzenberger.
Shit.
Ratzenberger.
Shit. shit. But yeah, I love the film. I love the drowning attempted drowning scene when they're just both in a rowboat, and you know,
with the inner tube, Ida?
Huh?
Yeah, with the inner tube.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just great.
Yeah,
it was just fantastic. And Nancy Parson, she's just I love her, you know. And it's basically I've only seen her in the three Porky's movies and all that. And I love Porky's. Joe's never seen Porky, by the way.
There's three Porky's,
and he needs to watch it. It's you gotta watch it.
Well, it's your pick for the next theme, Mark.
It's not horror.
Well, hey,
it's never stopped you before.
Yeah, what, just go on another vacation and have Catherine
tell us. I got this
have
note
seen
from
Porky's,
Mark.
Catherine,
I have not seen Porky.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you're not missing much, but
no, that's
I'll have
not
him
true.
On VHS when we go up to the Rocky Mountains.
There you go.
Give us something to do.
OPR zombie apocalypse movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Catherine, have you seen Revenge of the Nerds?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God.
What else haven't you seen, Catherine?
Let's go through all the movies Catherine hasn't seen from the 80s.
Probably quite a few, but I don't have.
Have you seen Hot Dog, the movie?
Oh, great movie.
How about
That's
Learning
a
to Drive?
Movie. Hot Dog. Oh, what a great
Hard
movie.
Bodies?
Yes, I have seen Learning to Drive.
Yeah, Hard Bodies with Johnny Depp.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Have you seen Dream a Little Dream?
No.
The Sure Thing?
No.
Holy shit!
That's a great movie.
What the
sure
fuck,
thing?
Catherine?
The sure thing you'd actually love, I think.
Okay,
Matt. Yeah, Matt, make sure you're sitting down for this one. But I haven't seen The Sure Thing either.
What the
for
fuck,
as big
Joe?
Of a Cusack film as or fan?
Yeah,
as I am,
no
I
kidding. And that's one of the best Cusack movies. I can't believe
yes.
that. You got to remedy.
Totally
I just
agree.
Keep rewatching the ones that I know I like.
God.
All right.
Where were we? I don't even know. Now I'm just like stumped.
Anything else to add, Mark? Anything else to add?
We were. Well, Matt still hasn't gone.
Is Mark done?
I think I'm done.
Okay.
I like it. I highly recommend it. It's a cult classic. It's fun. Super fun.
All right. Matt, what did you think?
Yeah, it is definitely a cult classic. I don't love it, but it's you know. Let's see. Speaking of the twins, Joe brought up the twins, and when the parents come to grab them and put them in the car, they look like they were in their 60s. I suppose it could be their grandparents, but they always portray parents a little bit older back in those days.
Like
it's kind of like what's his name from Jaws, his mom, you know, being so old.
Back in the 80s, I mean, that's how people aged.
Yeah.
People aged really bad.
Yeah.
Not like Gus.
Let's see. I love the band. I think they were hilarious. The one guy had the worst beard of all time. It was like it was obviously just some cheap Halloween costume beard. I'm not sure why they wanted to give him a beard if it's going to be look like that. It was terrible.
Because they're Ivan and the Terribles.
Yeah, I guess.
Terrible beards.
Man, the girl got over her boyfriend quick. Her boyfriend dies, right. And she seems to be on the market really quickly. But they just bury him. I you know, is that legal? That kind of came up, I guess, a little bit later. And he was
apparently,
like, hey.
It's okay under extenuating circumstances.
Right, exactly. And then it looks like that place where they're rowing the boat is like a sanitation. It looks like a sanitation pond or something. It I would not want to be fishing anything out of there. Let's see. I thought the couple that comes to the hotel, their whole whipping thing, and then she starts whipping all over the room was just hilarious. That cracked me up.
Oh, so
Michelle
good.
That came in right at that
was just
scene.
So bizarre.
Like, yeah, they were.
Of course
were,
she
yeah.
did.
Yeah, she comes in right at that scene, but she was laughing about the woman whipping all over the room. It was.
They're not going to get their deposit back.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And what the hell is Wolfman Jack doing in this movie? He has almost nothing to
totally
do.
Totally underutilized.
Anything. Yeah. Well, that too. Yeah. So Rory Calhoun is like 56 or 57 when they made this, by the way. He looks like he's 70 years old. He's basically our age, guys. Not you, Catherine, but us. And but he looks
That's
like
scary.
He's at least, he looked at like he was at least 70 years old. He's got this girlfriend who looks like she's
20.
I don't know. She looked like she's 20 something, maybe. So, Mark, is that how you got your girlfriend? Were you a farmer? Because the age difference is about the same.
It's my personality, Matt. I don't know if you know this, but I got a great personality, and I'm kind of good looking. I'm kind of. I'm really good looking.
You bury,
actually,
guys in your garden.
No, I don't know how to garden. Well, kind of.
I'm not sure these people knew how to garden either, to be honest with you. I'm pretty sure firing a gun at a cop is illegal. He just shoots his gun at the police officer. Right. Yeah, I think the cop should come back and arrest him for that. That doesn't seem, this cop is terrible, which of course is in line with horror movies. The cops are always just awful. He's not smart and he's not tough. But yeah, this is, you know, it's kind of fun. It's not one that, you know, I care to, I probably will, I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. This may have been the first one, the first time that I actually watched the whole thing straight through. I've seen parts of it at different times, but I don't know if I've ever sat down and just watched the whole thing from beginning to end. I may have, but I just don't remember now. And there were parts of it I didn't remember. So, but it's not bad. Not bad.
Excellent.
Catherine, it's my favorite out of the three. Like, pretty much easily.
Yeah, might be my favorite out of the three. No, actually, Zombieland is. Joe, why are we doing Perfect Strangers theme?
Sometimes the world looks perfect.
I can't hear you over the world's greatest theme song.
Sometimes you just best get a feeling like song. You need some kind of change. The history of teleport. No matter what's all this time,
nothing's gonna stand in my way. It's flaming in my heart like a long lost friend. Gives every dark street a light. Here it comes.
Stop me now.
So, oops, sorry. Joe, why did you include that? What you say? Joe sent me these files of the theme songs, but what? Why this one?
Because it's the best theme
it's
song.
It's the greatest theme, TV theme song in the history of.
And by the way, back then, theme songs were their own thing because this is a minute long. These shows, like they only were on for 30 minutes, but that's with commercials. So there's really probably what 20 minutes of or 25 maybe of actual show and 20
pure
minutes probably
entertainment.
But then one full minute of it is your opening theme song.
It's amazing.
Worth every second.
That's what's wrong with the world today.
Yeah, exactly. Name a good theme song from nowadays.
Right?
Yeah, there is. They don't do them anymore.
They don't do them anymore.
So here's can we go back fact. To the point where we were asking Catherine what 80s movies she hasn't seen? Because I want to know she's seen
all the list.
I just want to know if she's seen Soul Man with C. Thomas Howell.
Oh, great movie.
No, I have not.
It's a great movie.
I know
movie.
Of it, but I have not seen it.
Great movie.
Or what
I've
about
seen
just
The Outsiders
one of the
with C. Thomas Howell.
What about Just One of the Guys?
Just One of the Guys?
No.
You see that one? Oh, great.
Career Opportunities?
No.
Eh.
So good.
No. I don't
it's
like
Jennifer
that
Connelly.
Eh. Wait, I got a fun fact with theme songs. Did you know for a Different Strokes theme song, Alan Thicke wrote and sang that song?
I did
know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he wrote a bunch. He wrote the Family Ties theme song. Alan Thicke wrote a lot of theme songs.
You know why
it's
I knew
crazy.
That?
Crazy.
He did Different Strokes and he did like Facts of Life too, I think.
He did Facts of Life?
Mm-hmm. I think
he did Facts of Life? Mm-hmm. Wow, what a
You know how he
treasure.
Wrote it? He took the good and then he took
and the bad.
He
took the bad.
And then he took them both. And there you got.
And he had the facts
there
of
you got. Yeah.
I think I could have written
facts
that one. Actually, his his theme songs were "It Takes Takes Different Strokes," "Facts of Life," "Wheel of Fortune."
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
The original theme that was from
1975. Did the original have lyrics?
I don't think so. I don't know. Actually,
if it didn't, we should write some.
Wait. And how did the Wheel of Fortune go?
I don't
All know. I know is Wheel of Fortune, and then what?
Dun 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 dun.
That's not Wheel of Fortune. Let's make a deal.
No,
that's Wheel of Fortune.
Mark, I am 90 years old. I watch Wheel of Fortune every night. I know how the theme song goes. Yeah, I do.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Well, and he also starred as Dr. Jason Seaver in Growing Pains.
Yes.
Of course, we knew that.
So,
and he passed away at the Pickwick Center hockey rink here in Burbank.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It's Quick Pick's not there anymore, right?
The hockey center, I think, is still there.
Yeah, that's it, Mark.
Wow, what a genius.
He's in the original. I don't think that's the original, though.
That's the remix.
That's the disco version.
Joe.
I don't know.
That's the EDM remix.
Well, next time is Mark's. Next time is Mark's pick. So, Mark, what is your next pick?
I can't wait.
What the fuck are you doing to us this time, Mark?
Well,
let me get my pencil sharpened.
Get my knives sharpened.
All right. Well, my next pick is not my picks. It is the listener's picks, and it's called Listener's Lair. Now, over the years, we've had
Listener's Lair?
Listener's Lair.
Oh, like their lair. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, okay.
L-A-Y-E-R?
Or lounge, Listener's Lounge.
Lair sounds more creepy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, L-A-I-R.
This is a horror podcast, Matt. We review horror films.
Hasn't been really.
Listener's Lunge.
No. So we've had listeners even be on the show with their picks, but we haven't done that in a while, so I decided to pick three films from three different listeners. Each film are completely different, obviously, but they are all considered horror films, Matt, Joe, and Catherine. They are all considered horror films. So...
Shut up, Joe. Shut up.
Shut up, Joe, and just let me talk. Laughing.
Just laughing.
All right. So.
Because I fucking said
so.
Yeah,
just shut up.
The microphone is yours.
All right. Thank you. So when we review these films next episode, we will rank all the films from 1 through 5 cuts. The winning film and listener will get a free CineScare hoodie paid out of my own pocket. Wow. As a thank you for being a listener. So are we ready for the picks from each listener?
Sure.
I think you should give one to all three of them.
You know how expensive that'd be, man? they need to start buying some merchandise so we can get paid. All right.
Oh, I agree.
So, yeah. All right. So pick number one is from a listener, Kaylee Roten, who I believe I pronounced that correctly, who probably not.
That's Casper.
There's a non-zero chance he did not pronounce that correctly.
Who has asked us to review the 1998 film Strangeland. You can find this on Tubi or Plex.
Thank you, Kaylee.
I had a plan for that one for later.
I was going to say, I have been trying to work that one into a theme for a while now.
Apparently this is a cult classic.
Are we also watching Shocker? Because that was my next pick for that theme.
Oh, Shocker's. Oh, that's directed by Wes Craven, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pick number two is from a listener. His name is Tom Malinowski. He has asked us to review the film Killer Tongue. You can find this on Tubi or the Roku channel. Killer Tongue. And, of course, from our last pick, it's from listener, and I hope I'm pronouncing this name right, Ilona Wild. She, of course, has picked the 2016 film The Greasy Strangler. You can watch this on Prime. And so there you have it, the listener slayer, and a free Hennescare hoodie to the winner.
All three of them. So nice. Strangeland, Killer Tongue, and The Greasy Strangler.
Yes.
Greasy Strangler is on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
So for
Strangeland starring, for of course, Dee Snider.
Dee Snider.
Twisted
Dee
Sister.
Snider. And the guy who played Buffalo Bill from
Ted Levine
from Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs. And there's something very bad's going to happen.
Excellent.
Okay. Yep.
Well, thank
Handing
you, listeners.
It off to the listeners. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, listeners, for saving us from another Mark pick.
we're saving Mark from another Mark pick.
No. I have two episodes already planned out, but Miss Ilona Wild really was fighting for us to review this film. And I said, you know what? We do it for the listeners. So, well, here we go. Wait, what was that for?
I don't know.
It was well timed, though.
In a few minutes, bitch.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, I think it's going to be a good fun episode.
Excellent. Yeah. So thank you, listeners, for those picks. And
pretty cool that you're going to buy them all a hoodie.
That's really expensive, Joe.
Yeah. That's true. Or a shower curtain.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Shower curtain. It's only $86. Take out a loan.
Take out a loan to get a shower curtain. Jesus Christ. Why does it think so expensive?
I literally bought
it doesn't even come with shower curtain rings. For $86, they should throw in the rings and the rod and everything. Yeah.
I bought one.
Who's pricing this?
I know. No shit. All right. Well, that's it. That'll be the next. I don't know. That'll be the next episode. So go to www.cinescarehorror and buy one of those hoodies yourself. You know, you could always go and check them out. We've got some good, and they are reasonably priced. The hoodies and t-shirts.
The hoodies, yes.
Yeah, the hoodies and t-shirts are reasonably priced.
And the hoodies
are
awesome. They're like really good quality.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I think Mark got, you got the fleece one, or what was the one you got that was the Jaws one?
You got the fleece Navidad one?
I have the fleece, and I have just the regular hoodie, and they're both the Cinescare Jaws one. And then I have like 7 t-shirts. I have a shower curtain, and I have a throw pillow.
And how much? The throw pillow Cinescare was like mug. $50, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it's like $50. The 20x20 is like $50.
That's what I got.
You know what you need is a welcome mat.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because I think, Matt, didn't we do one that was the Shining carpet?
Yes.
Yes.
That'd look pretty nice.
Your bath would be. I mean, the bath towels are really good, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're thick and plush, too.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Beach blankets, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
$3,000 beach blanket.
So bye. Come on, Rick Sweet.
Get our stuff. Go get our stuff.
Shop curtain, Rich Sweet. Come on, baby.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Cheers.
Oh God. Oh, Catherine. She just showed a ear
muffin. See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming. We'll get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig. Let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Save this
bear. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer. Could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. Rest Cancer Burger